Thank you, Peter. We are reading these familiar words from Matthew and the prophecy of Micah that informs them, and our text is verse 6, where it's that quote of the prophet Micah, "But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, by no means are the least, and that out of you will come the ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." The fulfillment of that prophecy in Jesus Christ. Congregation of Jesus Christ, we gather again this morning, and we are thinking about the things of Christmas and how that truth engages our lives and those around us. And on the one hand, we thought last week already too, the Bible story might be the thing that's familiar to a lot of people, but really not even. In our culture, in our time, the actual biblical story, not as much traction, but the carols, the Christmas carols, they are everywhere. And I wonder if in the past week you noticed that just in going around and doing various things, and it is remarkable how the carols are just everywhere. And that is just a wonderful missional opportunity for us who know the story behind the carols, who know that this truth that's proclaimed in them is the truth that people need to come to know, that we can engage people around those Christmas carols. Ask them too, what is your favorite carol? And even talk with them about what the carols point to. So this morning again, we are taking a very familiar carol, and you heard it sung here by traditional carolers dressed up as they were, which matches a little bit our display here at the front. That tradition of carols being sung continues to be part of what Christmas means to many. And this song, "O Little Town of Bethlehem," is definitely one of the favorites for many people. A wonderful song that speaks into their lives at this time. Now, I wanted just to reflect on the carol, first of all, and then what it means. I wonder if you know, we have an official hymn book in our church. You see it in the pew there, the gray hymn book. If you look in there, this carol is not in there. So when they were putting that book together, they reflected on different things, and they decided this one isn't in there. They, what? How is that possible? This is my favorite carol. The carols were looked at carefully. The carols were reflected on theologically, and this particular carol is not like the one we looked at last week, "While shepherds watch their flock by night," which is pretty much word for word Bible. "O Little Town of Bethlehem" is a poem written by a Christian man, but it's not intending or specifically going verse by verse through the Bible. And so the thought too is that its message too is maybe a little less biblically accurate, and maybe and it is definitely a song that was written more by a person in response to things that he had experienced, and I'll get to that. And so, for example, the first line, "O little town of Bethlehem, how still you are, quiet and dreamlike." But if you actually read the Bible story where Mary and Joseph come to Bethlehem, it's crowded. There's people everywhere. It's a census. And everybody's thrown in turmoil, and Mary and Joseph can't even find a place to stay. So then you think, okay, it's a nice song, it's a lovely picture, but it's not actually what was going on, right? And so we recognize, just one example, that the carols themselves are not specifically Bible, every detail. That's not their goal, that's not their purpose. And so this carol is an example too, where you might say, well, the carols, I don't know, they're nice, but yeah, they're not really for explaining everything about the Bible and the Christmas story. And so we acknowledge there's some weaknesses there. It's not written as a sermon, as a theological statement. But it is definitely biblical. And most carols that have that biblical theme do bring forward some wonderful things. And so let me just share with you in this carol, the first stanza when it says the hopes and fears of all the years, that's Micah 5. That's the hope that's reiterated in Matthew 2, that a Savior will come to take away those fears. The fears of a broken, sinful world. And that was the longing. And if you read in Micah 5, too, there's upset and there's struggles and the armies need to come out. And so the carol is resonating with that biblical truth that a Savior needs to come into our broken lives, into this broken world. So that's there. Stanza 2 is very good. It has the angels proclaiming the holy birth. And that's exactly Luke 2, which we looked at last time. So there we have that picture of the angels calling out peace on earth. Stanza 3 hints at the reasons for the Savior coming, that the Savior is entering this world of sin. And so it's actually quite bold because people don't like to talk about sin these days. The carol says the Savior is entering in this world of sin. And so that's something we can acknowledge too. Very important part of bringing the gospel to people in a world of sin. The song, O Little Town of Bethlehem, was initially written with 5 verses. Most people and most churches, and whenever it's written in a hymn book, it's only written with 4. Verse 4 was thrown out, had some theological difficulties. So if you do want to look into that, you can. But just to know, like, it was written not as a theological statement initially. It was a response of the person. And so in most copies that are present, verse 4, the original verse 4 is gone. And the actual verse 4 remains, which was verse 5, and it is now verse 4. It is a lovely application of Christmas. It's the message of the gospel. It's the statement that Jesus is born to come and cast out our sin and to enter into our hearts and lives. And it's a wonderful invitation. Jesus, come, abide, come to us. Jesus, abide with us. Be our Lord. Be our Emmanuel. That's the Bible. That's why Jesus came, that people would come to know him as their Lord. So we can speak beautifully about our Lord and his coming through this carol. The carol is clearly biblically based, and it would allow us wonderfully to talk to people about what the Bible says about Jesus, the Son of God, who has come into this world at Christmas to save us from our sins. So the Bible is beautifully represented there. Not surprising, because the person who wrote this was a pastor in the Episcopal Church in the United States, Pastor Phillips Brooks. He was from a pastor's family in Boston. He was very well educated. He attended Harvard, graduated with honors, and he became the pastor of churches in Philadelphia and in Boston. And so he was fully dedicated to serving the Lord. He was an excellent preacher of the gospel. And in fact, if you needed to compare him to someone today, you would compare him to Billy Graham. Many of us know Billy Graham. He's still living. His legacy of preaching the gospel, he drew people together in those crusades. Have you been to crusades from Billy Graham years ago? I was at one once. The gospel was presented powerfully. Believe in Jesus. That was Phillips Brooks in his day. He was that guy. He was that famous pastor in the United States. And so Billy Graham, in our understanding, you often see him with presidents, that he actually is in touch with the great leaders of the nation. And if you think about Billy Graham, how he has actually prayed with and advised many presidents of the United States, Phillips Brooks, when Abraham Lincoln was assassinated in 1865, Abraham Lincoln was assassinated at the end of the Civil War. Who do you call to bury him? Phillips Brooks. He was the pastor who officiated at the funeral of Abraham Lincoln, and he spoke the gospel to the whole nation. In this brokenness, in this pain, in this uncertainty, we look to Christ. This was the guy. So that gives you a sense of, yeah, what is this? Oh, a little carol, some joker wrote it, who cares? No, this is someone dedicated to declaring the gospel in a broken world where a great president like Abraham Lincoln could be assassinated. Now what? All kinds of turmoil. He could bring a word of peace and a word of hope. He is an interesting character. After all of that, in 1865, he officiated at the funeral. Soon after that, he kind of had a nervous breakdown. It was just too much for him. It was difficult. I mean, he was an ordinary person, right? And so he actually took 1 year off. He left his church. And he traveled through Europe, and he arranged his travels so that he would be in Bethlehem on Christmas Eve. And so the story goes that he traveled on horseback on Christmas Eve from Jerusalem to Bethlehem, and that's not far, that's about 5 kilometers. And he rode then, and he writes too that he rode into Bethlehem through the fields where the shepherds had kept their sheep, and that he pondered too that the angels had sung here, and he attended the service Christmas Eve in the great basilica that Constantine built over the site. If you've ever been to Bethlehem, there's a huge church over the cave where they believe Jesus was born. And so that was built back in 300. So it's been there for a long time. And so he actually had planned to attend there. The service began at 10. He actually took part in the service. The service in the church there in Bethlehem at that time went from 10 at night till 3 in the morning. It's a 5-hour service. Wow, let's keep going. Hey, Hilda. Amazing. There's songs and prayers and people speaking. And it touched his heart again. And it said he was restored. Restored to the reality. He knew this was right and true. But in a broken world, and what do you do and how do you proceed? And so he received again by God's grace. Just a renewal in his ministry and in his life, and he continued to serve in the church. And then just a few years later, he actually, he done more stuff in relation to just how God had worked in his life. But then several years later, he wrote for a children's Sunday service this song, "O Little Town of Bethlehem," which brings his experience forward and just sharing how he encountered Jesus again as the Lord and Savior. So that's behind the song. Actually, the tune was written by his church organist, Mr. Lewis Redner. And Redner tells the story this way. In 1868, he was approached by Reverend Brooks. It says, "Reverend Brooks told me that he had written a simple little carol for the Christmas Sunday school service. He asked me to write the tune to it. The simple music was written in great haste and under great pressure. We were to practice it the following Sunday, and Reverend Brooks came to me on Friday and said, 'Redner, have you ground out that music yet to O Little Town of Bethlehem?' And he says, I replied, no, I haven't. But I promised him he would have it by Sunday. So then he writes, on Saturday night, he said, my brain was all confused about the tune, but I was aroused from sleep late in the night. He says, too, he heard an angelic strain whispering in his ear. And he got up right away and took a piece of paper and a pen and jotted down the main treble line of the tune. And on Sunday morning before church, he says, I filled in the harmony. That's how the tune was written. That goes with it. He says, neither Reverend Brooks nor I ever thought that the carol would ever live beyond that Christmas of 1868. So that's how it came together. Now, those who know a little bit about tunes suggest that it was the tune that made it so popular. It was the tune that captured people's hearts more. And if the tune hadn't been what it was, we wouldn't have the carol very likely. But with the tune, it became one of the best loved carols. And thankfully it did, because it is a beautiful carol that brings a wonderful picture of God's redeeming work. And this is the point I want to focus on this morning. This focus of the song on Bethlehem actually opens up a wonderful history of God's redeeming, saving love. So when you reflect on Bethlehem in speaking about the carol, that you know it as you sing it, and that also if you have opportunity to share with those around you about it, that you understand what it says. So in relation to the carol, O Little Town of Bethlehem, thinking biblically about Bethlehem, when is Bethlehem mentioned first in the Bible? Early on. It says about Jacob. God promised Jacob to be his God. God promised Jacob, I will watch over you where you go. And that impacts us here at Bethel, because we have the big banner on the wall out there. And on it, it talks about Genesis 28. And in Genesis 28, Jacob had the dream. And God said, I will be with you wherever you go. And then Jacob wakes up and says, this place is Bethel. I didn't know that God was here, but God is here. And sometimes we wonder too, is God really here? This is Bethel. God is here. He promised to be here. He promised to be with us. And so God promised to Jacob to be with him, and through Jacob's life, he maybe struggled with that promise. And when did he struggle with that promise? When his dear wife, Rachel, the one that he really loved, died. She died giving birth to Benjamin. And where did he bury her? Bethlehem. He buried her in Bethlehem. There was a lot of pain, a lot of tears, not a lot of hope, except that in Bethlehem, God promises to work his redeeming love. And that started already with Jacob. And that continues through the biblical story. Do you like the story of Ruth? That's a great story. Ruth. Ruth comes with her mom, Naomi. And they come and she gleans in the fields, Boaz's fields. And where are Boaz's fields? Bethlehem. Bethlehem. Boaz lives in Bethlehem. Naomi comes back to Bethlehem. And in Bethlehem, Ruth, who is a foreigner, not allowed to be part of God's people, not at all welcome really, but based on Naomi's witness of faith and love to God, Ruth comes and says, your God will be my God. Where you go, I will go. Where you die, I will die. And there I will be buried, right where Rachel was buried, right in the place of God's promises. That's where my hope lies. Bethlehem, God's redeeming work. It's in the background of the carol, O Little Town of Bethlehem. God, who later in Jesus through the disciples goes to the Gentiles, looks out into the community and says, you are welcome. You are welcome. Ruth wasn't really welcome initially in the minds of the Jews, of the people, but God's redeeming work is to welcome people to faith, to bring them into fellowship with him, to bring them into this church. Still the same message. And that's Bethlehem. Ruth had a child, Obed. He was the great-grandfather of David, born in Bethlehem. And that's why Mary and Joseph go to Bethlehem to be registered, because they are of the lineage of David, who was born in Bethlehem. And who is David? He is the great king, the greatest king. And Jesus, who is born in Bethlehem, is the result of the promise to David. God said to David, a son of yours will always sit on my throne and be king. Where is Jesus sitting now? At the right hand of God in heaven. Raised from the grave, ascended to heaven, King of kings and Lord of lords, king today. You say, in this world we don't have kings. We have presidents, we have governors. No, we have a king. Jesus is king. He reigns over all. He was born in Bethlehem, and in Bethlehem, the promise that God would reign continues to work itself out, and that Jesus is that King of kings and Lord of lords. And the song, too, asks us to make him Lord of our lives. Welcome him in. Do you like Psalm 23? Psalm 23 is a lovely psalm. If you ask people who know nothing about the church or faith or the Bible, if they know Psalm 23, they will say, yeah, probably do. Where was Psalm 23 written? It was written by David, right? What was he doing? He was in the fields around Bethlehem. The shepherd, pointing to Jesus, the Lord, who is my shepherd, who watches over me in trouble. And what is the most comforting psalm? Psalm 23. Our good shepherd watches over us, provides what we need. Comes out of Bethlehem. God working his redeeming, comforting love. And then just one more, a little more technical. Bethlehem in the Hebrew. This is something you might remember, but probably not. It's house of bread, Bethlehem. Beth means house. Lehem is bread. Boaz was there. Ruth was gleaning in the fields. It was a very fertile area. Much grain, much wheat, much bread. It was the bread basket of Israel. Bethlehem is the house of bread. Jesus says, I am the bread of life. What are you pursuing in your life? What are you after? What do you hunger for? More of this, more of that, more money, more fame, more influence, more of everything, but you're not satisfied. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. I am the one who satisfies the hunger of your soul. From Bethlehem, the house of bread, Jesus, the bread of life, we offer to all who hunger and thirst for righteousness. And so God's redeeming work is fully worked out in that place. And it's a beautiful, beautiful way of thinking, of engaging that. Micah 5 speaks about it in that prophetic way, 7 centuries before the birth of Jesus. And that redeeming plan of God is worked out when Matthew 2 quotes Micah. And that just affirms for us again, that redeeming plan continues to work itself out. Jesus is the Savior promised from of old. And in the simple carol, it points to that reality that we celebrate what God has done in Bethlehem, in Jesus. So first of all, receive that understanding this morning, to know what the Bible says and to have again this Christmas a reminder of two, that the detail of Christmas, the birth of Jesus in Bethlehem, beautifully done. A second application that Brad was bringing out in the children's message, Jesus is born in that very small and insignificant town. When Reverend Brooks was there, it was just a small, quiet town. Absolutely. Micah 5 verse 2 says it's small, literally low, least, weak, despised. Yet in that place, God is doing great things. And so for us to recognize, sometimes we feel too Lacombe. Ah, what's Lacombe? Just a small, insignificant. We're a city. Ha, we are a city. But still, what's that, right? You go to Red Deer or Edmonton or Calgary. No, God works here. 1 Corinthians 1 verse 28 reminds us God chooses the weaker things of the world, the lowly things of the world, the things that are not, to nullify the things that are, so that no one may boast. The work of God goes on in places like Lacombe in beautiful ways. And that's what we are reminded of too. God is at work here. God works best even right here. And we can be part of that, to open ourselves and be part of that work. So whenever you sing or hear, O little town of Bethlehem, remember and be encouraged what God has done and what God is doing. And in fact, this weekend, it's the 63rd anniversary of our church. This church was started 63 years ago. I mentioned it at the congregational meeting. 63 years ago. And Garrett was there. Hey, he started right here. Some others. PETA, there was others here. There was more members here. Started out, and look what the Lord has done through all the years and continues to do. So we continue to look to the powerful presence and grace of the Lord. We're going to sing this great carol together again, and I pray that you let the words speak hope and peace into your life again this Christmas season.